Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning, and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. One of the major problems facing the church is it's a lack of scriptural definitions for biblical truths. If I would ask 100 Christians to give me a definition of biblical prosperity, I might get 100 different answers. Some would no doubt say money. Others would say cars and land, possessions. There would even be those who would say spiritual blessings. However, strange as it may sound, none of these match the biblical definition of prosperity. The Bible defines prosperity differently than anything ever found in the realm of man's knowledge. The biblical definition is staggering, to say the least. Let's start looking at it in Genesis 39:1.
Genesis 39, verse 1 says, Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither.
Before going any further, I think let's fully understand what we just read. Joseph is stripped naked. That's how slaves were treated during that period of history. Then Joseph was brought to Egypt by the Ishmaelites. They in turn, I'll get to that in a minute. They in turn sell him to a rich Egyptian named Potiphar. In this illicit sale, Joseph becomes the property of Potiphar. At this time, Joseph is a slave, owning absolutely nothing, not even the sandals on his feet. Now get ready for an amazing insight into God's word.
In the next scripture, Genesis 39, verse 2, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man.
Hallelujah. The only thing standing on the auction block as a slave is Joseph. He's naked, and that's the way they sold slaves back then. They'd put them on an auction block. Anything that they had to be at their feet, and they sold them naked. He was a penniless man, not having a single possession. But yet God says he's a prosperous man. Not the rich man that bought him, but the slave is said to be prosperous. It's time for the church to start rejoicing. For according to the scripture, biblical prosperity is more than what it appears to be to the natural eye. Please notice that this revelation about Joseph is not an isolated instance. For we're told that Daniel, a slave, the owner of nothing, was also a prosperous man.
Daniel 6, verse 28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Please note that this meets with the biblical standard for establishing truth, for truth must be attested to by at least two witnesses. In Deuteronomy 19, verse 15, it says, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established.
Joseph and Daniel are those witnesses. With this definition of prosperity, it becomes obvious that biblical prosperity is the opposite of world prosperity. The prosperity of this world system is always directly related to possessions, while biblical prosperity is always directly related to a person's relationship with God. And this becomes very clear in this next verse.
Continuing with Joseph in Genesis 39, verse 3, it says, and his, Joseph's master, saw that the Lord was with him, Joseph, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand.
upon first reading and hearing of this passage, it might seem that this power to prosper in Joseph's hands is an exclusive gift, one that only pertains to Joseph and his calling to save mankind during the great famine that came later in his lifetime. Ever Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18. When properly understood, it becomes evident that the power to prosper has been placed in the hands of all God's children.
Deuteronomy 8, verses 17 and 18. Thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power in your hands to get wealth.
The context here is that God's children were mistakenly assuming that the power they had to get wealth came from themselves. If you read verse 17, you know, that's confirmed as we just did. In those days, people lived in an agrarian society where they worked with their hands. That's why Deuteronomy 8:17 takes on increased significance. Ever the prophet clearly identifies where their extraordinary power to get wealth came from in verse 18. He tells them that the power they have to get wealth comes directly from God. Scripture says, it is he that giveth thee power. Really, it's saying in your hands to get wealth. Now, please notice that Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18 is speaking of the whole nation of God having this miracle power in their hands. This power is given to all of God's children. Ever because of the extensive teaching of traditionalists during the greater part of the Christian era, the church no longer knows or seems to know that this power exists. Now, there's been an awakening in that area, but still a lot don't understand. See, the exact same thing happened with the filling of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. That privileged opportunity to walk in power lay dormant for hundreds of years because of erroneous teaching. The traditionalists believed it is a so-called dispensational gift that gradually came to an end with the death of the last apostle of the Lamb. Notice that Deuteronomy 8, 17, 18 explains what Potiphar noticed about Joseph's hands. Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him, Joseph, and the Lord made all that he, Joseph, did to prosper in his hand. In accordance with this promise to mankind, Deuteronomy 8:18 declares that each of us has the power to manifest biblical prosperity.
Deuteronomy 8:18 says, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Don't let the devil trick you into thinking that prosperous living is not for you. For if you're saved, you belong to Jesus. I mean, if you belong to Jesus, then Abraham's promises are all yours. Galatians 3, verse 29 says, and if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
God sees you as a money magnet. Now, I can almost hear somebody saying, don't tell me biblical prosperity is in us. I don't need a philosophy of prosperity. Brother Harold, what I need is in the tangible realm. I need a house, a car. To put it bluntly, I need some money. I got to have furniture and I got to have new clothes soon. It's going to be hard for me to hang on to my job. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard things like that traveling around the world. There can be no question about it. Joseph was naked when he entered Egypt. However, the good news is he didn't stay that way. No sooner did he arrive at Potiphar's house than good things started to happen for him. Marvelous things that quickly supplied his every need and want.
Genesis 39, verse 4 continues, and Joseph found grace in his Potiphar's sight, and he, Joseph, served him, and he, Potiphar, made him overseer over his house and all that he put into Joseph's hands.
Some will say, Brother Harold, why don't you tell the whole story? Everybody knows that Joseph's prosperity was short-lived, for it wasn't long until he went to prison and lost everything. Genesis 39:20. And Joseph's master Potiphar took him and put him in the prison. Now, please notice that according to the world's way of measuring prosperity, Joseph would be removed from the list of prosperous ones. For the world measures prosperity is the way it measures, then it's over with him and poverty begins. However, it's not that way with God's prosperity. For it does not come from without by the accumulation of material wealth. It comes from within, turning the one who has it into a magnet that draws material wealth, power, and influence. With Joseph's arrival at the jailhouse, the world system would say poverty was inevitable. However, the inward biblical philosophy, let me say it another way, the inward biblical prosperity of Joseph quickly restored his position, possessions, privileges, and power. For no sooner is Joseph thrown in the jail, the good things started to happen for him.
Genesis 39, verses 21 through 23. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prisons. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it prosper.
Now, we're going to pick up on this on tomorrow's call, and we're going to talk, stay with me, we're going to talk specifically about being a money magnet. Now, it's important to understand, if here's what I want you to get from today's call. Prosperity, biblical prosperity, has to happen in you before it's ever manifested around you. Don't look at where you are. Look at what the Word says. Think on that. We'll pick this up on tomorrow's call. Go to haroldherring.com. Check out this week's 2-minute video. While you're there, if you've been blessed by the teaching, where it says, sow a seed, just ask God, what seed did have you put in the ground? That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.